Jesus, meek and gentle, Son of God Most High, pitying, loving Savior, hear thy children's cry.
I had to do that because Doug would be disappointed. He keeps telling me I'm turning into Marvin Jr. and getting up and singing and talk, so I didn't want him to be disappointed. Or Dad either, for that matter. Probably be I'm not sure disappointed is the right word. You know, the Bible is full of great ideas, but as a literary piece, the Bible is amazing as well. Very few documents will you find that use the brevity and efficiency of language the way Scripture does. Now, you might find some examples in our world. Declaration of Independence might come close to that. But we're talking about people and God, in this case, who know how to use language and put it together. Now, we have been studying in Galatians, and we're this morning again. And you remember that it talks about the things we're to avoid, the works of the flesh, and then the things that we get, which are the fruit of the Spirit. And I think that the efficiency of language use carries through this letter as well. Now, that being said, and I noticed in our class and otherwise that we tend to jump over some words. And these things that I'm going to tell you today are my ideas about these words, okay? So you won't find them in the dictionary, but I think you'll find them contextually and connotatively to be accurate, okay? These words are gentleness, humility, and meekness. We tend to interchange them, and sometimes they are interchangeable. They have parts of each one in the other, but they are, in my opinion, distinctly different. Okay? So in class today, we talked about restore such a one as fall overtaken in temptation, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness, lest thou also be overtaken. So I wanted you to think a little bit with me this morning about meekness in particular, because I've talked about humility and gentleness before. But what meekness actually is. Not the same. It's very close, but not the same. Gentleness is the application of force of one kind or another at just enough level to achieve a good result. Not the most, not the least, but just enough. Remember us talking about that? Gentleness is just enough. Not too much and not too little. Humility is a recognition of my relationship to God and to my fellow man. Ultimately, I am not better than any of them, particularly God. But ultimately, I'm not better than any other man. And neither are you. Pick the most despicable character that you can think of. And you, on God's scale, are no better than they without Jesus accompanying you. And humility is a decision. It's a decision based on thinking about my relationship with my fellow man and with God. Now, meekness is another matter whatsoever. Meekness is placing myself in a position of enduring wrong. And we're talking about anything from the slightest irritation to persecution. Placing myself in a position of enduring wrong peacefully in consideration of those wronging me. Desiring peace rather than conflict. And hopefully I'll make this picture a little bit clearer. We know, and I've said before in these lessons, that Jesus is the epitome of all of the attributes given that are given to us as fruit of the Spirit. So, we've talked about before, was Jesus gentle? Yes, he was. Go and sin no more, he told the lady that was caught in adultery when no one was left to accuse her. The same man who told the Pharisees, you are whited sepulchres, graves full of dead and stinking bodies. Force applied in both situations, but just enough. He would have destroyed the adulterous woman if he'd taken that tact with her. He'd made no impact on the Pharisees at all if he'd taken the approach that he did with the adulterous woman. Just enough. So Jesus was gentle. Was Jesus humble? Most definitely. Philippians, the second chapter, it says, he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So yes, Jesus was humble. But Jesus also describes himself as meek. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, the all-familiar verse to us, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Let's consider Jesus for a moment. Here's a man who is completely innocent. I don't know that any of us have experienced that. Maybe when we were first born up to the age of accountability, but since that time, maybe for a few seconds after we pray for forgiveness, we're completely innocent in God's eyes. He was completely innocent without having to ask for forgiveness because he did nothing wrong. Nothing. Not one single thing. Did nothing wrong. And he was on the earth with all of its problems, dealing with his own creation, man, and dying on the cross for it. Was that wrong? Yeah, it was wrong. It was wrong. Innocent people shouldn't die for things they didn't do. They shouldn't die for those. And here's the most innocent man that ever lived, dying for people, most of whom will pay very little attention to him. Is that wrong? Could Jesus have rightly thought, this is not right? What am I doing dying for these people? What am I doing dying for these people? But he was meek. And so he endured wrong peaceably in consideration of me. How about us in meekness? Psalms 22 and 26. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. Psalms 76 and 9. God is to save all the meek of the earth. And we all know Matthew 5 and 5, in the midst of the Beatitude, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's us. That's us. We hope and believe. Look at Isaiah 61 for a moment. Isaiah 61, 1 through 2. Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek.
He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. Anointed, Isaiah saying, he has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. Now, this is not the fruit of the Spirit. This is natural meekness. This is me deciding that I will peaceably accept bad things. The meekness allows Isaiah and allows God to teach us about our sinful nature. Is that pleasant? Is that pleasant? No. My meekness, my willingness to endure bad, allows me to be taught. No one likes to be taught that they're doing something wrong, that they need to improve themselves, etc. My meekness allows me to consider what I'm told and decide whether it applies to me and whether I am going to apply it. Meekness allows me to peaceably consider the assault of the gospel, and the gospel can be an assault on my life. The assault of the gospel on my life and on my sinful nature. Psalms 25:9 says, "The meek will he teach his way." Not the meek as in the fruit of the Spirit. Meek as in those that are willing to endure contradiction and assault of the gospel. Let's look at James, the first chapter here. I should just stick with one Bible, because if you don't, then their pages are different. James, the first chapter. Verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." Initial obedience, this meekness is not a fruit of the Spirit. This is a natural part of me looking at God and saying, "I'm going to listen to you even if it hurts." I don't know if trees have feelings. You think trees have feelings? You know, all these people that talk, they're plants and things. But I'm sure if they did, it wouldn't be a pleasurable feeling to chop off the top and put another piece from something else on down there and tape it together. That'd be like taking your head off and putting a new head on, okay? Just tape it together. It's not necessarily a pleasurable or even an inoffensive move toward the tree that's being grafted into, but it's something it does in order to hopefully, something we do to it, in order to hopefully get something better. Get something better. This meekness we have to have in order to listen to God and do what he says. Meekness is humility and gentleness in the face of being wronged. Meekness is humility and gentleness in the face of being wronged. In Colossians it says, "Put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness are not the same thing. You don't, the Holy Spirit doesn't do that. He doesn't say the same thing twice. It's efficient. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. What if you have a quarrel with somebody and you're the one that's been wronged? You're right. They're wrong. What are you going to do? Meekness is choosing not to win the argument. Meekness is choosing not to win the argument, even if you're right, out of consideration for the other person or the circumstances. Meekness is waiting for a better time. Slow to speak. To not respond now, as we're all prone to do. Meekness is taking adversity peaceably. This was referred to in the reading this morning of the prophecy. But in Matthew 27, we see Jesus exemplify this. Matthew 27, verses 11 through 14. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? Aren't you paying attention? Are you asleep? Don't you care? What? Don't you care? Come on, wake up here." And he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. That's meekness. It was all wrong. It was all wrong. Got lying witnesses. Think how we think about. We consider things in our world and something is a lie or something's done unjustifiably or someone's punished unjustifiably or accused unjustifiably. Think how up in arms we get about that. Here's a totally innocent man who's standing in front of you and they suggest, "Don't you have a defense? Don't you have a defense?" They better be glad Jesus was quiet. Because you talk about a defense. He would have put Perry Mason to shame, that's for sure. And now I use Perry Mason, and half people don't even, there's that one of those words, half people don't even know what we're talking about. Put any attorney to shame. But in meekness, he peaceably endured with humility and gentleness wrong. It was just wrong. Jesus was right. He was totally in the right. They had no business crucifying him. They didn't have any witnesses. They didn't have any charges that stuck. They had nothing. Nothing. But he was quiet and meek. I'm not very good at that. I tend to not like being taken on. Okay? And probably so do most of you. Some of that comes from our political arrangement in our country. We all have, at least ideally, we all have rights and so forth that we can stand up for and should be stood up for. But meekness is something entirely different. I'm concerned about someone's soul, about how they're going to do, then I need to be meek. In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, Do any of you dare, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? And how much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Does that make any sense? If I have a problem with someone in the church, take them to the person who you think is least qualified to handle it. Least esteemed in the church. Slightly sarcastic, I think. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that should be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not be meek? That's what meekness is. Peaceably taking wrong. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Even if you're right. Even if you're right. Suffer yourselves to be defrauded. Nay, you do wrong and defraud. You become the defrauder. Even if you were right. Even if you were right and the other person was wrong and you don't handle it and be meek about it, you become the defrauder. And you defraud your brethren. It's not about if we're going to win. It's not about if you're going to win. It's not even about if you're right. It's about being meek. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. So Lisa shouldn't be doing what we talked about in class, right? Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Just, not by your preaching. No, without the word, by your life. That's how you win, by your life. While they behold your chaste conversation or manner of life, in this old English, by your chaste conversation or manner of life, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. That isn't the stuff that's important, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Do you think Christian women in the first century didn't have a tough time if their husband wasn't converted? You think that would have been rough? It's rough now, right? But think about their culture. Think how hard this was. She was right. In fact, she might have been right most of the time. But she is going to be meek and take that so that her life will tell her husband about Jesus. That's meekness. That's meekness. That is not natural. That is not natural. That is a fruit of the Spirit. It better be, because if I have to find it naturally, I am in trouble. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also are sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. I have no problem making a broad statement that we all struggle with meekness because we like to be right. And when we know we're right, we like other people to know we're right, and we want to be treated right. And meekness is the acceptance of being wrong for the greater purpose of being peaceable and showing people how godly people live, like the wife. That's meekness. Who is the wise man in James? By the way, that last scripture was in Titus. James 3 and 13, who is a wise man and endued with wisdom among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, manner of life, how he lives, his works with meekness of wisdom. Wisdom somehow teaches us meekness. And we all know those things that we get knowledge, and knowledge is the basic facts, and we get understanding, and understanding is how those things work together, and experience is being exposed to those over and over again, and wisdom is the ability to make it work, to accomplish something, and how to apply it to circumstances. And if I truly accumulate knowledge, and understanding, and experience, and wisdom, I become convinced of what? How much I don't know. How much I don't know. And that allows me to be meek. Sean, you talked about word pictures. I want to paint a couple, three word pictures for you to try to demonstrate what meekness is. Jesus is described as a lamb. Gentleness is a lamb being stroked, scratching behind their ears, rubbing their belly, nudging them carefully along so you don't knock them over. I don't know if you've ever seen a new lamb. They're about as stable as, I don't even know. And they'll fall over sometimes. Jesus was gentle. He is like a lamb being stroked and stroking. And Jesus was humble, in submission, subdued, not out yelling on top of the mountaintop, but teaching and interacting with people in humility when he was the Son of God. But meekness is Jesus being led to the slaughter. Meekness is Jesus being led to the slaughter when it wasn't right. It was all wrong. The only thing right about it was the result. That he loved us enough to do it when it was all wrong. And because he did it, you and I can stand before God and say, my Savior here took away my sins. I don't have any. I don't have any. He took them all. He took away my sin. So I have no sin that will hinder me getting into heaven. And God will welcome us in. But was it right? No. I think that the Holy Spirit, the apostles, and God are very efficient in their use of words. They say exactly what they think, and hopefully, I understand a little bit more about the difference between gentleness and humility and meekness. If you're here this morning and you are meek, that means you are willing to let God instruct you and guide you even when you don't want it, even when it hurts. You're willing to let him have his way with you when it's exactly the opposite of what you really humanly want. That's meekness. If you're in that condition, we offer the invitation to stand and sing.